Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
I want to talk to you today. There's a scripture in the book of Proverbs that warrants and merits some conversation. I pray that in the following little bit of time that we're together here on this CD, that something hits you, resonates within you, and just gives you the grace the rest of your life to realize how big God is, how great the work on Calvary was, and how much the work of grace and the Holy Spirit in you today makes all the difference on you finishing the race with strength. Oh, God don't want you to start strong and finish weak. He'd rather you start weak and finish strong. The verse is found in Proverbs 24, verse 16. Paraphrasing that verse, it says that a righteous man will fall seven times in one day, and in one day he will get back up after falling seven times. The verse is speaking about failure, speaking about not making it, not hitting the mark, not hitting the target. Whether it's marginal failure, big time failure, it's just talking about the roughness of the ride, the challenges of the journey that we have when we follow this Savior named Jesus. First of all, he wasn't saying that you're limited to seven mistakes in one day. That's not what he's saying. Wouldn't that be terrible if God said you're allowed to make seven mistakes in one day, and those seven mistakes is what you'll recover from? That would be so difficult, because we do make, in thought, in word, in deed, way more than seven mistakes. The opposite of that is absolutely true. The verse is signifying that God is saying that when you have a concept of God, when God's living on the inside of you in a large way, that irregardless of the failings, the mistakes, the shortcomings, Romans 3:23 says it best, "For we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory." Nothing else needs to be said. We've all failed God in many ways and continue to make up mistakes, even in the born-again life, even in the born-again spirit-filled life. You know, this life is filled with being perfected and transformed and changed from the curse of Adam, clear up to the curse of our recent ancestors. And then, of course, you have the world, the flesh, and the devil. I mean, this is a very learning, educating experience, all that we confront and battle day by day all of our Christian life. So whenever God says, what's he saying is this: no matter how many times you make a mistake in thought, in word, in deed, if you're willing to turn to him and look to the answers that he gives you, you know, not buy into the Babylonian way, not buy into the culture of the moment, you know, where they just say, well, nobody's perfect, and they just can't, but they never really make a connection with the God that they say they love, they know that they serve. This is about connecting with God, walking with him, looking to him for all the help that you need, even in your weak moments. That's why Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. John 16. In the world, meaning tribulation, meaning pressures, trials, testings. He said you'll have them. You know, in the world, in your natural body, in your natural set of circumstances. But he said, be of good cheer. Now, why would he say that? Why would he say you're going to have all this difficulty and then say, be of good cheer? Because he then finishes the verse by saying, I have overcome the world. Meaning that if you hang with me, you're an overcomer. If you walk with me, you're going to win. If you go by yourself, then you're going to run into a lot of difficulty. Not only will you fall, but you'll find out that getting up is strictly dependent upon, you know, a willpower, strictly dependent upon the strength of youth, strictly dependent upon the drug of the age. God says, when you follow me, you're not dependent on any of those, because your strength is in me. Anyhow, this is what an amazing verse. It encapsulates so much. And like I said, it has nothing to do with only seven mistakes. Really, the opposite is when you have unlimited things go wrong in one day, there's no limit to what God can do in you, do for you, and even, yes, do through you. It exudes more than one's own willpower. It exudes more than one's own database of knowledge. It exudes way more than one's purpose-driven life. Where I have goals, I have purpose, I'm driven. And yes, it even exudes probably the biggest motivator on planet Earth, and that is money. A lot of these, there's no doubt, they all play a huge portion of one's willpower and motivation to fall, get up, keep going, brush off the blood, fix the tooth, patch the tire, keep it moving. Motivation is key. And when you have a strong will, you know, when you have a lot of knowledge, when you have a goal you're trying to reach, and when you have money that motivates you, then you're going to find yourself, you know, shaking off a lot of things that some people never, ever recover from or shake off. So there's much to say about that. But what happens is that you run into something somewhere, and we don't know when, we don't know what age, we don't know what the details are, but it can take the wind out of your sail, all four tires off your car. It can cut you deep into your soul, and we just don't have a gauge on, you know, what is our resilience? What is it? And whether we recover immediately and jump back up, whether it's a 24-hour turnaround, or whether it's years and years and we get back on our feet, it's still a sign that, you know, you're able to recover. But there are some things that hit you. You may recover from a divorce quickly, but if you lose a loved one that you were close to, it may not be so quickly. You may recover from bankruptcy, you know, quickly, but you may not recover from an injury quickly. There's so many things that can take you down that take longer than other things to get you to get back up on your feet, to get you praising again, trusting God again, believing in the church that He gave His life for. No church is perfect. No preacher is perfect. No congregation has it all. But I tell you, it's still God's way and will on planet Earth, that is His body. So don't give up on the body. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself. That's what the scriptures teach. Don't become an island. Don't become you against everything. Recognize that you're going to need support from people who just don't have money or have willpower, who have a dream, but people who know their God. Did you hear me, my friend? You need people in your life that know God, that know how to get to God, that can pray, that can give you a word of spirit-filled, spirit-breathed encouragement. Everybody says great things, speaks positive, but their words often fall to the ground because there's no anointing on those words. They may love you, but nobody loves you like Jesus. They may stand with you, but nobody will stand with you like Jesus. He is your ultimate team player, your ultimate supporting cast. He is the biggest cheerleader that you will ever know or have. He said, if I'm for you, who dare be against you? Oh, line those enemies up. It don't matter if He's for you. Whether they're relatives, whether they're fellow workers, whether they're church people, whether they're in the far past or right in your present, listen to me, if they are against you and He is for you, it's a fixed fight, it's a done deal, as long as you don't get swayed mentally and emotionally. You can and you will get back up, and you will recover. I think of some of the verses that have helped me in my journey here. I'm going to give you seven of them. I'm going to comment a little bit of each of them on these seven verses. Please make note of these. Please get into your Bible, however you do that, whatever translation you listen to, and meditate on these. They will bring you the same life that they've brought me over these many years of this journey on this path. Jesus called it the straight and the narrow. I often tell people the narrow isn't so that you can't have any fun. The narrow is so that doubt and confusion and death doesn't fit onto the narrow. All the stuff you want to do, there's room for that. Verse number 1 says in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, from whence cometh my help? Does it come from the hills? And verse number 2, David says, no, my help comes from the Lord. In the Old Testament, many of the heathen tribes, the ungodly tribes, they built all of their high places on top of the mountains. And so they would sacrifice and do all kind of antics, religious antics, calling this and shouting out that, for their God to show up. And of course, we know that didn't happen. And David's kind of making a little bit of cynical remark. From whence does my help come? Does it come from the hills of these high places that these tribes built? No, my help comes from the Lord. It's so important, you know, that your help don't come out of a bottle. Your help don't come out of a needle. Your help don't come out of secular stuff, secular philosophical thinking. Your help comes from the Lord. When you make him your source of all your strength and your help, you have the majority. You have a winning dream team from the get-go. You may have to learn how to operate in that. You may have to find a way to become comfortable in your own skin with how that works for you. It's not going to work the same as somebody else. But God is God of over 8 billion people if you let him be God. But if you continue to play God, and he is God, and even though he's in you, and you don't surrender that, then you will have a difficult time because you're going to get knocked down. That's why it says if a righteous man, he's not even talking about a man that's not with God. He's talking about a Christian. He's giving you ample warning. We're going to get hit. You know, look at Jesus. He got hit. He couldn't even carry his own cross. His own cross pinned him to the ground. And then Simon of Cyrene had to come and help him. Well, if it pinned him to the ground, then dealing with our flesh and our old nature, our old way of thinking, it's gonna hit us. And then you got warfare. There's real demons in the earth. I know people don't want to talk about that, but there are. There is a real devil. It's not just some Disney World character. He really exists. He was Lucifer, the highest archangel ever made. He had the greatest position in heaven there ever was. He was the most gorgeous, and he was expelled, and he took one-third of the angels with him. They're here on the earth operating, setting up schemes and strategies, and oftentimes they get the best of us. You know, so we fight that. We fight our own flesh. We fight the pressure of, you know, our dreams and our assignment. We fight the pressure of everyday life, cutting grass, paying your rent, paying your mortgage, dealing with children. You know, paying your taxes, you know, I mean, dealing with the fact of aging and how to stay strong. And all of these factor into a cocktail of great challenge. And so in the midst of all of this, yeah, there's going to be days, you know, that you're going to get hit harder than other days. And how you recover is going to depend upon where does your help come from? All you care about is the 911 and ambulance and paramedics and health insurance and life insurance and fire insurance, then you're putting your trust in a man-made system. But if you know that your help's in the God, in Holy Ghost, in Jesus the Christ, then he's able then to pluck up any one of these resources that I mentioned and move you to the head of the pack and give you favor. But make no mistake about it, you know, it takes some time, especially if you haven't been raised as a child. It takes some time to really find out where is your help, where does it really come from? That's why that's Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. Oh, get that in you, my friend. Get that in you. Second major verse for Billy Burke is this: not by might and not by power, but by my spirit saith the Lord, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Boy, the prophet says it all there. Not by might, not by my sweat, my hard work. Even though that's important, your due diligence is important. It shows God that you're responsible, but you don't trust in your responsibleness. You don't trust in it. You do it, but you don't trust in it. You work really hard, but you don't trust in it because there's all kind of factors, like I just mentioned, some of them that are fighting against you. So Zechariah said, the great prophet, he said, look, it's not by might, even though you need your might to work. It's not because of that. It's because God kisses the work that you do. You see, it's the blessing on your work, not the work. A lot of people work hard. They're poor their whole life. A lot of people leave home in the dark and come home in the dark and have nothing to show for it. So it's not hard work. It's not hard work. It's knowing that not by might, not by hard work, not by a devotion to a company or a cause. It's not by might or by power, but by the Spirit. So whenever you know that God has to bless the work of your hands, that's what enables you to get back up. That's what enables you to go down and unfall and get back up a champion, because while you were down there, you realized, I can't get up. I don't want to go on. And then you realize, where am I going? And your mother says, come on, go for it. Your dad says, you can do it. Your friends say, yeah, you have the power. And inside you think, I don't want to do it. Something's been broken inside of you. See, man was devastated from the Garden of Eden. Our wills were captured and hijacked. Our strength, our years, our nature. We gave up the nature of God for the nature of a snake. That's why born again, you get the new nature back from what Adam forfeited. He committed high treason in that garden. High treason did he commit, him and that Eve, the perfect couple, which wasn't so perfect. So very, very important that whenever you make a mistake in thought, in word, in deed, that you realize you can get back up. But it might not be the way you think. Where's your help coming from? And so many people live so long in condemnation, in guilt, and then they don't want to go to church. They don't want to hear more truth. They can't handle the truth they heard. You will. You're a partner of this ministry, this healing and miracle ministry. But this ministry has revelation. It's coming your way right now. It's coming down heavy and hard. God wants to get this into you so that you have less down days. That's what a good race car driver is. He has to stop and get a tire changed, but he's not over there drinking a Coke and kissing a girl. He gets a tire. He wants back in that race. Same with a marathon runner. They spread water over themselves while they're running. They drink while they're running. Why? Because there's a race to win. There's a goal to achieve. There's a prize to get a hold of. That's who you are. That's why you were born. You may be the only one in your family that's able to break that curse of losers and poor and sick, depressed and addicted. But you may be the one that sets the pace for future generations, should Jesus tarry. We don't think he will, but should he, you could be the one creating a new path for the people, because you found out the secret isn't you, isn't willpower, isn't vitamins, isn't more sleep. The secret is, where does your strength come from? Delilah said to Samson, hey, how are you so strong? Because they all thought it was his hair. It wasn't his hair. It was his vow of the Nazarite, his commitment to God. So this is amazing. The third verse I want to give you is 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him. It doesn't say cast the responsibility, but so many people worry about a car payment, worry about a house payment, worry about this and worry about that. And worry is such a demonized emotion. It breaks down your cellular structure. It creates bad things in your body. It gets you talking out of your turn. I mean, it's a roadblock to so many things. And yet Peter made it sound so what? He said, casting all of your care. Separate the responsibility of something from the worry of it. If you're going to worry about a car you buy, why buy it? If you're going to worry about the payments, why buy it? You know, if you're going to have to worry and stress out, there's no peace in that. You're going to age before your time, probably die before your time, probably irritate everybody else around you. Cast the worry of it. Still work hard to pay for it. Still trust God to make it happen. Still look to him for your strength. But refuse to worry. Verse number 4, the first one I have to use, is found in Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul said this, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not strong in yourself. That's what the whole world's all about. I lift weights. I'm stronger than you. I run, I race, I run, exercise, I'm stronger than you. I got a good bloodline, I'm stronger than you. What deception. In the casket, in the grave, lies many, many people that ate good, ran good, had good bloodline, but died before their time. Was weak before they wanted to be weak. It's not muscles, it's muscles on your mind, mental toughness. That's what separates regular people from the champion. It's finding out that in Him I'm really strong. Long as I stay in the Lord, long as I stay connected to Him. Because who you're connected to is who you're one with. If you're connected to your coach only, then as your coach goes, you go. But if you're connected to Jesus the Christ, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, where there's unlimited power, if you're connected to Him, then what's available to you is an unlimited strength, vitality. Don't you go by what you see in other people, because you don't know God's plan for them. You don't know, you know, why they're being kept alive, why they're being kept strong. The Bible says, we're, you know, we should be looking for 70 years, 80 years with hardship. The New Testament says we should be, our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, then it's gone. So the New Testament emphasizes quality of life, not so much quantity. But, of course, we want to do both. And oftentimes it's the power and the strength of your faith in God's strength in you to break even out of the vapor concept. You can do this. You can live till you're satisfied. You can depart out of your own body. You can give up the ghost. That's what Joshua did. That's what Moses did. That's what Jesus did. They didn't want to be here one day longer than they were supposed to be. Keeping the spirit in your body is what creates the physical pain. Because your body, according to 2 Corinthians 5, is groaning to get out into a higher tabernacle. We're made, we're wired for eternity, not the earth, not this world. While we're here, get all you can get. Be all you can be for God, for Jesus. Win as many people to Him as you can. But understand something. There is a bigger picture. Be strong in Him. Psalm 91, verse 2, I love it. He's my strength and my shield. He's my fortress, my refuge. Here again, David's kind of saying the same thing that Paul is. One in the old covenant, one in the new covenant. He is my strength. He is my fortress. He is my shield. Paul said, I'm strong in the Lord. These guys realize that their personality, their mouth, their nature, their experiences limit them. Oh, but when I'm connected to Him. When the baby elephant's connected to the mother elephant, the lion says, not today. When the baby zebra is connected to the mother zebra, or the baby buffalo to the mother buffalo, or the baby grizzly bear to the mother grizzly bear, the predator often says, not today. But if they can get that baby away from the influence of mother bear, then it's game on. Time to have dinner. Don't be prey, P-R-E-Y. Be prey, P-R-A-Y. And stay close to God. Have your strength in Him. Whether you're a swimmer, a track man, a businesswoman, a CEO of a company, if you own four McDonald's, if you do the stock market, have your strength in Him. And those diseases that attack a broken down, pressurized, worrisome lifestyle. Because not all jobs are the same. There's people that have to stay up all night. They work it. They do it. They're dedicated. The fabric of their souls and what they do. I think that's wonderful to be sold out to what you do. But not if it kills you early. Not if it makes your children orphans. You know, not if it becomes an idol where it means more to you than God. Let your strength be in Him. Psalm 103, verse 3 says, He forgets all of my sins. He forgives all of my sins, and He heals all of my diseases. He didn't say He heals some of them. Didn't say that He forgives most of them. He said all. That means no matter how much you sin in one day, and that can be a lot of sin in thought, in word, in deed. It means if you all you do is think about how bad you are, how wrong you are, you will backslide. You will want to quit. You will think you're the exception to the biblical rule. You're not. You're not. Long as you're alive, long as you love God, long as you believe He is who you believe He is in your life, then tap into that. You may believe the fire extinguisher hanging on your wall would put out a fire, but until you have to use it, you're glad you have a spare tire in your car. It gives you a little bit of peace, but until you have to use it, same with a gun, same with a knife, anything you have to protect and help you, it's good to have it around for peace sake, for mental peace, but oh, there's a day, I tell you, you'll have to use it. And in that day, know that it is the grace of God that's going to help you activate that to keep you, protect you from disease, from death, from poverty, from brokenness. And one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, 2 Corinthians 9:8. He will make all grace abound to you. That's the great Apostle Paul. He knew. Oh, did he know? Because he was so strong-willed. He was so, you know, feisty, take it by force. He was all of the, oh, he'd like to hit you first and ask questions later. Took a long time to put a saddle on him, to groom him into being the great apostolic preacher that he was. Started 7 churches in Asia back in the day. Hey, rode a ship, weathered storms, beatings, tumults, riots. Nobody greater on the planet ever, except for Jesus, than the great apostle Paul. And he learned, I need the grace of God. I don't have the patience. I'm thinking wrong, good thoughts. I'm fighting this, I'm fighting that. And he said, I've learned I can't do this in my own strength. I trust that God gives me grace. What's the word grace mean? Empowerment. God will empower you when you don't have a desire. I mean, we look at people like Elijah. Elijah wanted to commit suicide. He wanted to sit down under the juniper tree and die because he did all those great things. God blessed, God kissed it. But then when he ran into this diabolical woman named Jezebel, who put a contract out on his life, you would think that Paul would say, hey, I just called down fire. I just killed 300 prophets. I just outran the best Arabian horses that nation has to offer. I outran them for 20 miles. You would think he'd be riding a wave of momentum, but we find out over in the New Testament that he's a man of like passion. What's that mean? We are all alike in so many ways. Same God, same enemy, common weaknesses. That's what binds the human race together. He sat under a tree and he wanted to die. He talk about down, he was down. God sent 2 angels to make him cakes. He wasn't down for long. He got back up. And you're going to get back up. You're going to have resilience. You're going to bounce back. Abraham lied. Job cursed God. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. All of these great characters made mistakes, fell to the ground. I'm sure each of them had a cavern of disappointment within their own soul. A shock that I'm sure Peter was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. I love God. Why am I denying him? I'm sure Abraham, who was ruled by fear at the time, was shocked that he had that much fear in him. And Job, the most devout man on all the earth. Are you kidding me? And he cursed the day that he was born. And his wife said, curse God and die. He found, you know, and the roof fell in on his children and his animals and his friends. I mean, he had a storm of, you talk about a perfect storm, magnanimous storm. And it, the Bible says, because he finally, after a while being down, grace of God got a hold of him, worked in him, took a little bit more time, as I said earlier. And he came into that great confession, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And from that moment, things began to change. And everything was restored twice as much as was taken from him. Of course, he couldn't recover the life of his family, but all of his possessions were restored twofold. He recovered. You know, this falling down, getting back up as a champion, it's a choice. But if you buy the wrong ticket and get on the wrong bus, the bus of self-pity, if you call Uber, you call taxi cab of self-pity and woe is me and why did this happen, then your ride could be longer than it needs to be. I'm not saying for you to jump up today and pretend everything's okay. I am saying to you today, believe God today. Trust him today. Look to him today. You're not in a race with relatives or friends or church people. Sometimes we get so convoluted, we think we're competing with other people. We all respond to trials, letdowns differently. None of us really know what we're made out of till we're tested. Until you're squeezed, you don't know what's inside of you. You squeeze a lemon and you see what's in the lemon. You put an apple in the blender, you see what's in the apple. Put the car up in the rack and then you see what all's going on underneath the car. So often doctors can't even tell what's wrong till they do a biopsy. They don't know. Sight on see, they don't know. And neither do we. Oftentimes, why am I depressed? Why am I angry? Why am I so moody? Well, there's a reason. Sometimes we may not want to know that. That's a sign that you've been knocked, you've been kicked. Something has disappointed you. Now, who gets a hold of that disappointment is going to determine how long you stay in that mindset. I mean, one day of doubt in the Old Testament, one day of doubt. The 10 spies had one bad day that turned into 40 years. 40 years. And the sad part of that is they took Joshua and Caleb with them for 40 years. 40 years, people who didn't have doubt, they had faith, but they couldn't persuade the other 10 that they could take the land that God said they could. And so they suffered until they died. And after they died, then Joshua, then Caleb was able to amass an army and take out those giants and take that land. Oh, don't let one day turn into 2 days, turn into a month. Hear my cry today to my precious, precious friends and partners. Oh, I tell you, God's a miracle working God. You don't have to know all that you think you have to know, but you have to know him. You have to believe in him. Jesus, Holy Spirit, call on him today. Ask him to give you grace today. He said it's sufficient. He said it's enough. Then begin to learn as you can. Begin to read your Bible. Go to church. Get in a Bible study. Get on our internet. We're rebuilding our internet to make it more conducive for growth and for study. Because we want to be used to strengthen you and help you. Help you get healed. Help you succeed. Help you step into the calling, the business that God has for you. It's hard for that to happen when you're angry, when you're down, when you're depressed, when everything seems to be against you, all the odds are against you. But there's someone else that we all know who seemed like he would never accomplish his goal. His name was Jesus. We forget sometimes that when he was crucified, and he laid there lifeless when they took him off the cross. He had no brainwaves. And he had no heartbeat. Joseph of Arimathea said, here's a linen cloth. Wrap him in this linen cloth. It was very expensive. And I'm going to give you my tomb. Didn't change the facts that he was brain dead and heartbeat dead. And it affected the disciples. They weren't like, oh, well, this, no. They forgot the prophecies. The two men on the road to Emmaus, they complained the whole way down. They're saying, we thought he was, and he should have. And Jesus snuck up in their conversations. And Jesus said, what are you talking about? Why are you so negative? They just couldn't hold on to the fact Why? Because they were governed by their feelings and by what they saw. It seemed like. A lot of things today in your life seems like. This could be a physical problem. It seems like you'll never recover. You'll never be off that walker. You'll never be off that medication. Of course, it seems like it. It seemed like he was dead in the tomb, too, but he wasn't. I mean, he was, but he didn't stay there. That's the model that we follow. Romans 8:11 says that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is able to quicken your mortal body. Jesus said, with your mouth you can remove mountains. See, a lot of this is, what are you willing to put into this? If you give God a little bit, he'll do a lot with it. He just needs your belief in him, your cooperation today. And I just believe, as I'm recording this, many of you are going to be healed as I'm talking. Many of you are going to be motivated to get back up on your feet and get back into the pursuit of your desired dream. Many of you are going to get the fight back inside of you and say, let's take the land. Don't let where you are define you. Don't let where you are define you. Okay, you fail. Okay, you disappointed yourself. Okay, you left family down. Okay, you shamed yourself of the church. Okay, we get it. But do what Jesus did. It says in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, he showed himself to be alive. Show yourself alive today. Rip off those grave clothes. Let the whole church know, your family know. Let your friends know. Let your enemies really know. The people that mock God, who don't believe that you can recover, be happy, be prosperous. Some of them want you to quit. They enjoy the fact that things didn't work out, that you got hit hard. Because they don't have a heart for God. They don't have the same destiny on their life or call that you do. You know better. Today, call on him. Get into that psalm that I told you about. Please, that's Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. From whence cometh my help? All these magazines out there, you know what they tell you? Your help comes from deep within you somewhere. Really? Really? Wouldn't that be great? There is a God in heaven. I have a friend who sings a song, and he says, there is a God in heaven, and he saves, and he heals, and he delivers. I pray that be you today. My friend, today, I just believe that this wonderful Proverbs 24, verse 16 is you. Time to get back up. When David lost his son, he was so depressed. He was crying. He was weeping. Of course, because you love people, you don't want to lose anybody. But after a certain period, God spoke to him. He said, David, go wash off those ashes. Get that sackcloth off of you. Let's get back to business. See, God looks at things through eternity. We're going to spend forever with him on a new earth. Maybe even exploring a new solar system. Who knows? The future is bright. Don't let where you are define you. Let your victory define you. When I think of Samson, I don't think of him failing. I think of him at the end of his life, bringing more people down than he did when he was alive. How hard that must have been. Had his eyes punched out, grinding in the millstone, 200, 300, 400 feet under the earth, mocked, hair cut, destiny ruined, opportunity blown. And yet he called on God. And what does the Bible say? His hair began to grow. Lead me to the temple, to the pillars. They laughed and they mocked. But this man got back up on his feet. What a great story of recovery. How about you today? Father, I pray today for my friend listening that there'd be a spirit of recovery, of resilience, an injection of Holy Spirit they haven't known in their whole life. Let the power of disease break, and apparatuses, mindsets, closed doors, the sense and the smell of failure, Oh, God, let it all just be blown out by a season of refreshing, I pray. Love them, O Lord. Let them experience your love, your presence. That they too will say what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, I am alive. I'm back. I give you praise for each one. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word healed. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.